Hello, welcome back to Normal Muscle and the Hustle podcast. It's early morning. Well, it's not early for Tony. Tony's probably been up for 5 hours. That's not a lie, but it's early for me. It's a Saturday morning. It's 9 o'clock. Quinzer hasn't been up at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning in a long, long time.
Yeah, but you're not lazy because like, you just work nights, mate. Like,
I will normally wake up at four. That's the crack. But you know what? I'm going to say it. It's good to be up early.
It always is. I don't care what anybody says. No. Like, whenever you're getting up later in the day, you feel like you're chasing your tail.
That is. I did notice that now a few weeks there when I was very busy. And I'd said to myself, but then I was only getting home at 3 and 4 and 5. I was like, I could have done maybe not at 10 a.m. there.
Like,
I don't know how good I would actually have been. No, with lack of sleep and then you're up at 10, you're like, oh, but you need to get up early to get the stuff done. But then you're like, Jesus, I wonder what I have just done the stuff worse.
true.
But so how have you been this week? How did the weekend go? The big seminar thing in Belfast?
Oh yes, I need to post about that. I'm gonna post about that today. I'm so fucking useless to post about my personal life. Yeah, the seminar went great. 100 people or so, roughly around 100 people on the Friday, about 40 on the Saturday. It's good. Friday was a fucking beezer. Saturday was a beezer. We sort of have the two groups split up, you know, for income. So obviously, you know, there's more people earning bigger money on the Saturday, so it's smaller group because it's more like scaling and stuff. So yeah, without getting in the back of it, it went well. Like I thought 100 people might feel like more whenever I'm speaking, but to be honest, it's no real quarrel or issue. It's just one of the things where I like things to be quite intimate and personal, and as the group grows, it's tricky to do that. So there's just a lot of walking about the room. But see, to be honest, it's just one of the things you get used to. It's like there's no difference between X amount in the crowd and Y. It's just, yeah, everything went smooth. Happy out. That's a big like weight off the shoulders, because that was massive. And then off the back of it, they're got invited to go speak in Galway tonight, which will have been today. It'll be Monday, so this will be 2 days ago I'm in Galway, so you can't even buy tickets. I'm already back home, so tough shit. But yeah, down tonight, do a bit of a talk to young Irish entrepreneurs, so we'll see how that goes. It's 9 a.m on the Saturday. I'm speaking at I think 4 or 5, and like I'm literally just getting to make the slides now. So I've been flat out. So like, I've even got one of the slides. I apologize for spelling mistakes. I made these like an hour ago. So I don't know if that looks super professional, but I think it's refreshing as well, because it brings things down to earth that like, yeah, I'm structured. Yes, I'm in routine, but like, you know, there's only so much you can get done in one fucking day. But no, everything's been A1, mate. What about you? How have you been?
Flat to the board, sorting Christmas, launching all the Christmas dates, sorting Australia tour too, and what else? Looking for a new car. That's pretty much what I spent the whole week doing.
What are you looking for? Give us a wee bit of breakdown.
I'm going for an X5. But I
mean, that's a big yoke to be driving around the country.
It is, and I think I look spectacular on it.
You will.
I need to take one for a test drive, because I'm a bit ahead of myself, because I've seen a couple of nice ones in England, so I'm going to have to go to England to get it for better value. People in the cars will understand this. I didn't know this. But I need to find a like-for-like model in Northern Ireland to take for a test drive to see if I actually like the fucking thing. And I found one. No. There wasn't actually. There was none. I've found like three that I really like in England, so I want the actual same model, same sort of mileage, same year, same everything, so I can go, right, this is as close. But I found one last night, and it's actually close to my house in Oma, so I am going to take it for a test drive later on today and see if I like it, and if I like it, I'll go to England and try to...
Per person giving you a test drive, thinking you're going to buy it, and you're going to...
No, well, it's in a... Well, the car... If he wants to drop the price a wee bit, if you're listening to this, Greg, someone Motors, Instagram, you want to drop the price, kid? There's a deal to be done, cash.
But as if he's listening to this.
It could be a big... If anybody knows Greg...
This is like me trying to sell a fucking Raptor in the Audi. Nobody listens. Nobody that's into their cars fucking...
A boy did try to sell me a Raptor as well. And then he goes, do you do many miles? And I says, and he goes, nah, it's not for you, kid.
No, it's not. Do you know what, though? I love my Raptor.
He did. He says there's nothing like it, but he goes, not if you're going to be doing 30 or 40
miles. It was my baby. It was so good. Do you know what? I would actually take it back. I would. Like, it's, don't get me wrong, the Audi's good, but I'm not home enough.
So that's been the week. That's been the week.
Straight
so.
Up, we going to do a Christmas podcast in person, you reckon? I think this is a good topic.
Yeah, yeah. I'm out to chat to Gary about the output. He was away, and he was away in some jiu-jitsu tournament, and I don't know.
That'd be epic.
Dubai or America. I think output's perfect for us, and then get Daniel to come along. Sure, he doesn't leave the place anyway. And then fucking, he'll just be walking past and seeing us doing a podcast and call in. But yeah, we're definitely doing an in-person one. After this week, I'm pretty, except for weekends, I'm pretty open during the week. So last Wednesday, if anybody's seen online, we had Christmas Day for the students in Belfast, which was secretly just a day rave, but we can't call it a day rave because the council don't like that word. And it was a huge success. So the students kind of piss off this week. Well, piss off.
Too cold.
It gets too cold in the Holy Lands, and then exams start. So
mate, it's so cold in Ireland now for anybody like not tuning in, like it's
tonight,
fucking
tonight is like tonight's the final student gig of the year.
Do you sleep in clothes now at night? I do, so I can get up easier. I know it sounds psychotic, but like
no,
I will go to bed in clothes because I don't know if anybody else gets up super early, but like I don't know about even if it's super early. It's just in general, the hardest part now is probably actually the heat of the bed versus the cold and everything else. And yes, you can do the countdown like we were talking about going 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. But I actually find that one of the best ways to get out of that is, and this does sound psychotic, but I go to bed with like socks and like my t-shirt, my hoodie and my jog bottoms on so that whenever I wake up, I'm actually a little bit warm.
Do you? So like, that's like the military when they're in Afghanistan. And they have to kind of go to bed wearing clothes in case something happens so they can jump straight up. But do you, service, you don't you use an electric blanket?
No, fuck, I don't use that. Because that and the water bottles I stay away from. You hear horror stories about that. But on top of that, like I've seen loads of fires get started with electric blankets. And then in the fire service, whenever you first start, you'll always be wearing like your t-shirt and your trousers to bed so you can get quickly to the pump and you're in your clothes. And see, as time goes on, you give less and less of a fuck. So you end up being in the fucking, not the raw, but pretty much in your fucking boxers running down the fucking thing.
Just so people know, right? When you go to bed, say a wee tracksuit on you, right? We pair of tracky bottoms, t-shirt.
People now, try and treat that like a secret in the fire service too, as if there's like when you the beds
get,
are there.
But when you get up, you go down and get a drink or something, but then you change out of the clothes. Like you don't hang about in them clothes for too long.
In the fire service?
No, in this morning. Like.
Oh, the way I work it is usually if I'm up that early, it'll be clothes that I'm like wearing for like the first hour and a half of the day where like I get my decaf coffee, I maybe do an hour of work, and then usually somewhere around like the 90 minute mark I'll either be going to the gym and I'll probably change like whatever it is, or I'll be getting an ice bath, so then I'm changing after that anyway, so whatever. It's sort of like just wearing heavier pajamas, if that makes sense.
Well, that's what I was about to say to you. So in other words, you're just wearing a couple of nights.
I don't get up and wear them clothes the full day. I'm not smelly bastard. Like, you see me, I wasn't. I didn't put on like my fucking shirt and my trousers and my jeans and all and my goodies and lay in bed and then I'm up for the day. Like,
there was a boy in my secondary school who used to wear his uniform to school or uniform to bed, and then not the blazer. Well, I don't even know. No, not the blazer. But his shirt, tie, trousers, everything, socks, he used to wear to bed so it would save him time in the morning.
A tie to bed is nuts. Like, and
his mum, they had to go to the teachers to tell the teachers to say, you know, you just need to send him to because he will not listen to us. He keeps doing it.
I think that's my...
He was stone mad. He was stone mad.
Mine's more to do with the actual, like, the removes a hard decision.
See, I'm starting to get more into that train of thought, the decision fatigue.
You shouldn't be picking your clothes in the morning or anything.
Yeah, well, I do really believe it, and I do 100% believe it when it comes to if you gym in the morning, you should definitely have your gym bag packed if you have a gym bag or your gym clothes ready in the morning. No, 100% believe that, but I'm starting to believe it in everyday life of sort of. Like I hate to admit this because I love shopping. I have a lot of clothes, like a lot of clothes, and I would do seasonal shops, and I don't get rid of as much clothes as I probably used to, and I probably should. I'm starting to really get into the idea of just buying for a season and then keeping one or two things extra from the previous year to keep on instead of having 10 coats or maybe 60 or 70 t-shirts I have. Maybe 30 pairs of jeans. Like, I don't
need... Holy fuck. How many legs you got?
I don't need... Well, I don't know if it's 30, but it's definitely over 20. Like, and I'm starting to get the thing going. Like, I'm literally looking at four pairs of, like, tapered blue, a shade of blue jeans that I don't need to make that decision because, like, and then I realized the other day, which was the sad reality, was I had three of the same pairs of jeans that I forgot I had. And I was like, right. And it was James Smith kind of put up, I think he put up a post about something about it. I don't know if he's ripping the piss or not, or he's taking the piss out of somebody else. But I was starting to think to myself, he could be on to something. If you like kept, and now not as bad as Steve Jobs, wear the same thing every day. Now that's a bit fucking, you know, it's a bit much. But I can get why people would do that.
I default to, like, I will, if I start to, like, in any way, shape, or form the night before, go, like, what am I going to wear tomorrow? So I line out just, like, not an outfit, but I just line out fucking clothes. Like, for example, I'm driving to Galway this morning, so I was, like, driving to Galway tomorrow, right? What do I want? I want a pair of these comfy bottoms, this top. There's a hoodie and a body warmer.
What is the comfy bottoms?
What are they? Oh, they're just Gym Plus Coffee. I got them for free, hard a bit.
They're not tight in your big legs, boy.
Nah, mate, like you think that, but like it just depends on the size, and I go up quite a lot, even though I'm only short fry. But it's one of the things where like that initial just decision fatigue removed in the morning, people don't realize that, but that saves you a lot of bandwidth. And then even whenever it comes to like, it's like people dilly-dallying over the menu, you know what they're going to eat. It's like, no, just like pick, grow it, and see how things go. It's just these small decisions eat up. But like, I will always default back to black if needed, just yeah. Black.
Everything. Yeah, well, I'm the same as a DJ. Like,
if I'm shorting it, and it's one of the things where I always say, like, these habits, these routines, these rituals, like, people don't realize, but like, that eats up 5-10 minutes here, and it sounds OCD, but then you see, whenever you procrastinate or you're shit with one decision, if flows into others. If anybody's very indecisive, realize that that's not because you're an undecisive person. You just have a habit of being undecisive. You can literally change that in moments. It's like, yeah. Should we go here? Should we go there? Just pick one. And you'll get used to just picking. I think especially as a male, you need to be able to take the lead and make a decision. And if it's wrong, who gives a fuck? At least you made the decision. It's like, if you're going on a date, yeah, you can give options. But if the person's not picking, you just pick. It's like, there's nothing wrong with going, where would you like to go out of these four places? If you go, where would you like to go? You're going to get a, well, you pick, versus giving options. It's a really prime example.
Well, also, I think a lot of girls, and I'm just talking from my own standpoint of late, they like a guy to take control and just go, right, here, what are you? Even if you find out a wee bit of groundwork, like what sort of food are you into? And go, right, here's where we're going. We'll do this without that.
No, I'm better than that.
Like, they like that because you take, at least you're back, no, like, at least you're backing yourself and you are taking control of the situation rather than going back and forth, going, oh, let's do this. Just take control and go, right, we're doing this.
Yeah, a really good example too is like, for example, like if me and you were going to go out in Belfast and I goes to you, right, and both of us can't, this is very fast. I don't know. I haven't been to either of these places, but if you go, I goes to you, what are you sort of in the mood for? What do you really like? And you were like, you know what? I've been craving a burger lately. I'd be like, right, well, I've heard of Bops and Smash Bros.
Yeah.
I fancy chicken. Let's go to Bops. And if you fancied meat, you go, oh, I fancied. And that is that decision made. And then if it's shit, it's shit. Who gives a fuck?
Huh?
People are paralysis by analysis.
Aye, paralysis by analysis.
So worried about making the wrong decision, they actually don't realize that making the wrong decision is actually just being indecisive, and it looks worse on a date in any area of your life. Like, it shows that you're not handling things. It's like, whenever I go in somewhere, like, my automatic reflex, like, for example, like, my sister will know if it's like after 2 p.m., I'm getting a decaf coffee wherever we go. And I don't care if they're sweetener, I don't care if it's black, I don't give a fuck. It's a coffee. Versus, you'll see people debate, like, will I get this? Will I get that? Will I get that? And I'm just like, fuck me. Like, yes, there's time and place to pick things. And yeah, have a look at the menu. And yes, if you're, you know, debating clothes on a date and all, but these are all such small things. And then I think they seep into who you are as an individual more than you realize. And you don't realize that these small decisions, these small thought processes are what shape your character and who you become over time.
Yeah, it's like when people are debating what coffee they should have, and I always laugh at this. They're like, oh, don't know. And you're like, well, like, there's fucking a few mil different of milk in each one of them. They're the same thing. They're the exact same thing, guys. There's just a bit different amount of milk and water in each of them.
You're definitely a flat white guy, are you?
Well, Magic would be my main coffee, and then a flat white, but you can't ask for a
What's
Magic.
What's a Magic?
Magic is less water and less milk. It's a stronger...
It's not stronger, just stronger tasting.
Well, it's stronger because it's more concentrate. It's strong.
Does everyone do that?
You would have to go to a nice. If you asked in a good coffee shop, a good barista, they would like almost go fucking right, man, because they're sick of making the same coffees. But there's a few places would specialize in it. But it's real famous from St Kilda and Melbourne. Like everybody in Melbourne drinks Magic coffee.
I expect that if I went and asked for Magic, I'd get a fucking magician.
Well, don't ask someone in Starbucks for it or whatever, because they'll just fuck it up. But if you went into somewhere like Nick Establishment or Neighborhood Coffee, they'll be like, fucking right, man. But it's just a smaller, it's a smaller flat white sort of, probably the size of, is it Cordato's?
That's not a vibe for me. There's not enough liquid in that.
Well, see, that's the thing. It's one of them.
That's your trade-off with coffees. It gets nicer the smaller it gets, but the problem is you don't get it's gone in such short time period.
Yeah, it's like a run and gun. Like, but I'm starting to get ripe if we go coffee wanker this year. I'm getting back into the filter, the pour over again.
See, I'm always a black Americano.
Well, that's kind of like the same as black filter, but I'm getting into the actual ritual of pouring it over and letting it seep down and letting it drip while I'm doing a bit of work. Because I'm doing a lot more laptop work now at the minute, which is fucking annoying me. So I'm getting into the same thing. But I do love a wee flat white. I do love a wee flat white too, but...
Well, that's what you want to do. Like, for example, like I've been talking about these routines, these rituals. I was talking about them on the prior podcast. Like, having like certain places allocated for certain bits of work or certain places allocated for tasks. It's like, you should never really be eating in your bedroom. Like that's rule number one.
Yeah.
You ideally always want to eat in the kitchen. You always want to eat in the same places. You always want to like, it's why you'll notice, I know it sounds odd, but if you drag work around the house, you'll become stressed a lot more because there's no clear boundaries. The same with like, if your bedroom is now an eating place, like, you might think, well, I can still have sex here, can still sleep here, but now it's completely slightly altered and smells, everything's different there. Whereas like, for example, like I always sleep so well, so I wake up early, and it's because my room is literally the only time I go to that room is when I'm sleeping. That's it. Like that's literally it. And it's one of these things where like, I think whenever you've got clear boundaries and rituals, like even if you're like I was reading up on a study the other week, and it was actually about how you should do, you'll find this very interesting. And how you should do, there's a reason that cubicles and the size of ceilings and offices are that size. And it was like, it's subconsciously done, but the smaller the room and the smaller the space, the better you are for more analytical type work. You know, like numbers written, it makes it quite easy to do that because you can zone in. That's the reason why, for example, like, do you ever notice if you're struggling to concentrate and you've got a hat with you, you'll put the hat on and it's easier to focus. I don't know if anybody else notices that. It's because it's like blinkers for a horse. It's also like, it brings us ceiling down your eye line, so it makes things less like you don't see as much. Versus, see, when you're trying to do creative work, like, see, when I'm trying to write scripts for Instagram now, or I'm trying to be creative with anything I'm doing, apparently having a high ceiling works, and that's why people paint in high ceiling rooms without realizing it. So creative energy actually is biased off that, and there's studies to back that, which is very interesting.
I didn't know about the high ceilings, but it makes sense, like, because most art places are lofts.
Exactly, whereas you don't realize why that, you just sort of like when I say, oh, high ceiling, the first thing you think of is an easel, a paintbrush, but you don't think of a small cramped corner. You think of like a, you think of like a high, as you say, like a loft. You see the ceiling being like double the size of a normal. And I don't get me wrong, there's obviously gonna be outliers, like you might be the person that, like, I still go to coffee shops and think of creative work, but it's just quite an interesting thing where if you can then allocate, like, right, well, like, for example, like after 2 p.m. I don't take, you know, caffeine, but I allocate a decaf coffee because that still associates with work because the smell, the taste, and then I use Alpha GPC at that time because I'm not going to take caffeine. And then you associate these rituals with folks. And Andrew Huberman was even saying, like, giving yourself like a 10-minute warm-up for whenever you start any sort of work block and realizing the first 10 minutes is always going to be shit. And I think most people, that relates to most people whenever they say, like, do you ever remember writing coursework or doing an assignment and the first line is the toughest? It takes ages. And then when you get into flow, you're laughing. The best thing you can actually do there is just realize the first 10 minutes is going to be shit. It's like a warm-up. You actually almost better start in paragraph two or just writing a shit first line and moving. Because once you get into flow, you can always come back and change. But it's the same with that. Like, it's like, it takes you 10 minutes, even in the gym, to mentally prepare yourself to lock in. It takes like my first exercise is always average. It's the second, third, fourth, fifth that go way better. Because you're like mentally preparing as you go through it.
Yeah.
And I think that's interesting that you're almost worn up your neuro circuits, I think it is, for any task you're doing. It's even if you're trying to have a conversation, Joe, with family and you're trying to tune in, but you've just been doing work, it takes 10 minutes for you to probably get your brain into that pattern of like having a more in-depth conversation rather than like doing a task. That's why you'll notice like it's nice to go out for coffee because you're almost warming up the brain for that conversation with the drive, with the talk, and then the conversation goes much better. Whereas ever notice whenever you move from like one environment to the next and you can't switch your mind, it's because you haven't let it cool down to then warm up in a different area of your like your brain. Like you're letting, I don't want to bore you with like the fucking the hype of all this shit in the brain, like the campus, not, but do you know what I mean? It's a case of like, I think that's a very interesting dynamic that most people, this has almost turned into like an optimal podcast, but
we are actually, one of the topics we were sent in was very, me and Tony haven't even spoke about what we're going to talk about this, but one of the actual topics we were sent in was about how to unleash your full potential.
Oh, I think the number, this is literally very similar to the talk I'm going to give in Galway, I think.
Yeah.
I'll let you rattle after me. The number one thing I think that is the most important part of any person that's trying to improve is the main issue is that there's been a study done and it shows that 85% of people think they're self-aware and reflect enough. In reality, whenever they actually broke this down step by step, I don't know how they done it, they found out that roughly somewhere between 5 and 15% were actually self-aware. It's very hard to properly predict the numbers. And they found that, so the worst part is most people think they're self-aware whenever they're actually not, and that's more dangerous. And the thing is, when you don't reflect on what you're doing on a day-by-day basis, so like I always write out at the end of the day, what could I have done better? And have a wee small reflection, or if I'm doing stuff right today and it's not going well, I write it away. And then you're putting the emphasis on yourself. So a really good example of this is, I, for example, will reflect on like, say, I don't get as much work done as I done in a cut of in a day. And yes, you can be like, oh, well, don't be too hard on yourself. And you can use all that shit that's trending on Instagram, you know, all that be soft on yourself and all, because everybody wants to be sort of fucking mediocre. But I feel like, well, that's me being straight.
Like, it is, you know, it's true as fuck. People are, that is one, we will rant about this at some stage, but we're going to rant about it now. People are okay about being mediocre and shite at stuff, which is fucking astounding that people are like, don't be so hard on yourself. It's okay. You know, nobody wants to be number. I seen somebody write, nobody wants to be number one. Fucking sure people want to be number one. People are just so happy now with being like okay at stuff. And no, another thing, like even in life, people are settling for being okay, being in an okay relationship, being okay financially, being okay this. And they go, oh, maybe work on it at a different stage. There should be no point in your life where you're happy with being okay with stuff. And Tony says that if it's not a fuck yes, it's a fuck no.
Yeah, you know, it's not a fuck yes, yeah. It's
but they, like, no. I don't know why that got so trending. Fuck, I don't know why that got so trending. Like,
because there's so many people slacking and it's funny and things where people eat that up because it gives them the reassurance. I think personally, you are completely fine. You are, see where you are right now, anybody listening. You can be content but want more. The main issue now is this culture that's breeding where it's like you are perfectly fine the way you are. You are, there's nothing you need to change. There's nothing you need to do. And don't get me wrong, I am completely in agreement with that. But the thing is, there's nothing wrong with striving and trying to be better day in, day out. Because the thing is, as long as you're not putting too much pressure on yourself, like I think we're all guilty of this at times. There's two types of people. There's the people that won't, are living up for that message because they need the reassurance that what they're doing and they're not improving, that that's okay. And then there's people like me that actually probably do need that message where it's like slow and chill the fuck out because you're pushing too hard. And that's the actual individual that needs that mellow message. It's the ones that are too hard themselves. So I'm getting up at 5 and going, fuck's sake, I set my alarm for 4:45. Fuck.
Yeah.
Joe,
yeah,
that's the sort of individual that needs that mellow because they're pushing too hard and you'll burn out. Versus for me, it's that culture of like, you can, there's nothing wrong with wanting more. It's like almost getting demonized lately, like being more productive. Yeah. And like people turn around going, you don't need a morning routine. You don't need this. You don't need that. That's absolutely fine. But then these same individuals are the ones that are struggling with their mental health and going, why am I struggling? And it's because there's been no improvement. Like, we are humans. We are built for progress. That's the reason why Instagram, that's the reason why we've self-comparison issues. That's the reason why we have comparison overs, because we're literally programmed to have more. So the thing is, there's nothing wrong with being content with what you're doing. That's what I want. That's what everybody wants. And that's what I am. You reflect, you be grateful, and that'll happen. But the one thing you don't want to do is go, this is all that I can be. This is all that's needed, because you can be a lot more than you realize. Like, I never thought I'd be fucking getting up in the middle of December at home and getting in an ice bath fucking full of ice, fucking Joe, freezing my balls up. Like, nobody wants to do that. But the thing is, it's where it brings you as a human. And I don't believe you need this to be successful in any means, you don't. But from a standpoint of how you improve, I think the reflection and really looking at yourself and going, what habits, routines, rituals are serving me and what's not? And it doesn't need to be in a whole overhaul. A really good one is usually like something as simple as like, I'm on my phone too much and I'm using it too late at night. I'm using it first thing in the morning. It's creating dopamine spikes. It's keeping me up at night. It's stopping my connection with my mom, my dad. So list out a bad habit. And then what you want to do is you want to list out what it's costing you. So that's maybe sex with your partner, it's costing you good sleep, good energy, maybe the promotion, maybe more productivity, more downtime, it's causing you more stress. Every time you open it, you're getting triggered. So then, right, all you need to do is write down what it costs you and then write down 3 to 5 action steps. So one, I'm not going to use it for the first 60, 90 minutes of the day. It's going to be left in the charger. Number two, I'm going to charge it outside my room. Number three, I'm going to get a work phone. Number four, I'm going to use Opal, which is a screen limiting app. And there's four, and I'm going to turn on Opal first last hour of the day so I can't get on my phone, and during the gym. And I'm going to have 1 hour for the day where I turn it on as well for either work or family time. So like, for example, like I'll have mine on whenever, like we were out in Diamonds in the Point yesterday, and we were filming little bits and pieces for content, but like my phone, as soon as I go out, just straight on airplane mode or open.
Well, I noticed that because the only one tick came up in WhatsApp.
Yeah, so it's like, as I said, yeah, I was out with my sister, and it's one of the things where people actually respect that. Like you said, like whenever, because Mickey texts me, he goes, are we, like he texts me at 3 and I didn't text back like 7 or 8. And I was like, I just texted back going, I was out with my sister there. I don't need to explain it. You're guarding your energy, and then you're getting your cup filled. And for me, these, whenever you reflect on how to improve and be more productive and even improve that your mental health, like these standards aren't just about how you can earn more money straight. Like it's about how you can stress less and ensure the quality of your life is of the utmost. Cause if you have a bad habit and it's not serving you, it's taken away from your life and you're allowing it to, and then you're just being like, well, that's okay. But whenever you tell yourself constantly, that's okay, you're okay the way you are, you're going to pick up worse and worse habits and then wonder why your mental health's down the toilet. And for a long time, I was like this. And you don't realize how it's impacting you until it's too late. So when you review the habits and you go, how can I make my life better? Now, don't put a million fucking bits of pressure on yourself. But just take one small action step, or two or three, and you'll go, fuck you, what? The quality of my life, I'm more content, I'm more happy. And then you realize that, like, it's because you're working on yourself. You'll never regret doing the work. I'm starting to despise this culture of where people won't shoot for more, because it's putting ceilings on people too. And it's usually coming from people that are already doing really well. They're just capitalizing on that because they know the way the large majority think. Like, don't get me wrong, I put out that body image post yesterday, the day before, about like how, Joe, I'm easing off that a wee bit. I'm focusing more on like educating, inspiring, giving a realistic. But the reason I'm actually doing that is because, one, I'm going to go fit, fat, fit. I'm going to do a whole series of it. Number two, I also want to get far more comfortable with how not attaching my identity to my body. So that's a bit of a challenge for me as an individual, so that I'm more self-worth than just my body. And it's like, right, well, how do I push forward in these metrics? And then I'm trying to relate that to other people. It's not a case of I'm going, it's okay to be a lazy cunt, not track your macros and get fat. That's not what that video was about, because I still track everything. It's just getting more or less away from the point of your self-worth is defined by just your image, whereas I'm focused on becoming a better person. Now, I've ranted on quite long enough, but what do you think about that question we got asked? Do you have insight to that, like unlocking your full potential? I feel like reflection and action steps is like
the pure... I think you can't, well, to start off, I don't think anybody can unlock their full potential until they actually know who they are. I think if you don't know who you are, what you're about, you will never unlock your full potential. You need, because first of all, you, if you don't know who you are, you can't believe in yourself. No, you could be doing something. You could be doing a role that you don't actually really want to do. So therefore, you know, you're never going to unlock your full potential in that role or whatever you're doing. If you're at a point in your life where, yes, you know exactly what you want, you know exactly what you're doing, unlocking your full potential will probably come down to cultivating your character, number one. No, being as true to yourself as you can be, because then if you're doing something you love, you'll work harder for it. You'll put in the effort, you'll put in the time, you'll put in what's needed to just become better and unlock your full potential. As we were talking, like, as we went on a tangent, but being okay and mediocre at a task, like, it's never been okay. If it's something you want to do, like if you want to play football, if you want to play GA, it's not okay being shit, because you need to be good to compete. And if you aren't good enough, you just, you know what, same as myself. Well, it just wasn't good enough. Fucking, you know, not for me. You know, that's okay. I probably hit my potential. My potential is a lot lower than other individuals in that sport. So then I have no arguments to that. But if it was for me, for DJing, it's head down, it's work hard, it's find out, it's learn from others. You know, there's a reason why all these coaches in Northern Ireland go to Tony. Because they look at Tony. Tony's the fucking golden goose. The goose, that's what I want to start calling him, the golden goose. Tony's the golden goose in their eyes. So they look at Tony and they're like, right, how did he do it? What is his strategies? How can he help? And then they invest in themselves. And believe you me, if you fucking invest enough money in yourself, you will move mountains to not lose that money. Because you don't know. A lot of, like, I'm not speaking out of turn here, and I don't even know any of Tony's people. They invest money, and sometimes for them it could be a lot of money. And if you put a monetary value on you succeeding, you will work harder to succeed. And that's the way it is. If you invest in yourself, you know, you push yourself. It's like, how many times have you, like, heard the story of a guy, like, opening a business with his last $1,000? And it's a success, because the difference of success and failure was maybe being homeless, was maybe not, you know, it could have been that drastic. But in life, I think at the minute people love the easy life. And sometimes I look at my life and I go, you know what, I'm going to take a wee spell here, because I need a wee bit of an easy life, because everything's so go, 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 go. But if you're doing 12 months of the easy life or 10 years of the easy life, But then you want more in your head. You can't argue with yourself. You have no arguments, because you're not pushing yourself. And the problem is, then time comes where 10 other people are doing what you want to be doing, and they could be doing it better than what you could be doing it, and you're way behind. So you're going to be playing catch up. So I think, you know, if you want to go to your full potential, you got to find out about. You have to find out who you are first as a person, and then you have to build on that, and then you have to go after what you want to go, what you want to do. But you have to go after, like, you have to become the best. Say if you're a hair and beauty person, if you're the one girl that listens to this thing, you find the best hair and beauty person and you get trained by them, or you go to a seminar, you do something. If you're a coach, you go to Tony, you get on his mentorship. I don't know if there's DJ mentorships about, probably not, but you send people like me an email. I got one the other day from a wee guy from Balahi. He stopped me actually after a gig and goes, lad, I can't get gigs. And this was at 1 a.m. And I was like, right, email me tomorrow. No, don't email me tomorrow. Email me on Thursday and I will get back to you. And he emailed me on Thursday and I sent him the fucking longest Instagram message I've ever sent a human being. And from point A to the final point, I literally told him how to go about it and things not to do. And sometimes if you stop someone at 1 a.m. with a few drinks in you, in the Hatfield, you might get a bit of help in hand. But that's the thing. The wee boy had the balls to come up to someone and ask them. And he straight up says, I cannot get any gigs. And he goes, can you help me? And he goes, I don't want you to give me gigs. I want you to tell me how I can get gigs. And that's sort of the thing. Like, he went out of the way to do it. But too many people are just going to sit online and probably, you know what? They're probably going to bitch about other people that's doing a wee bit better than them. Because they're in the mentality of, you know, they're lucky, or they got an easy break. Or the new one I seen was, what was it about? Some of the like YouTubers content. Oh, if they would have been born 10 years prior, they wouldn't be where they are now because they grew up in the right generation. Have you heard that one yet, Tony?
Yeah, I've heard that massively.
Actually, it was about PTs. It was about, they're lucky because they got out when the boom of the gym happened. They would never have made it years ago. And you're just like, fuck off, lads. Like, that's like saying fucking Lewis Hamilton wouldn't have been a Formula One champion if he was racing in the 80s. Like,
I do believe that there is the right, like, you can get in at the right time to something like that does happen.
Oh, it happens, but it's still, you have to still be decent at what you do. Like, it's like the people that got into crypto at the start made money and got out. Like, no fuckers making money at crypto at the minute. But there is a lot of people became crypto millionaires. You know, the same as everything, boys get in early on different things and early adapters to different things. People who bought shares in Apple, you know, people who bought shares in Microsoft, when, you know, there's things like that. But like, I always find that people that don't want to put in the effort will always have an excuse, but they'll always also have an excuse or a reason to rip other people down. And that is probably it's probably just a thing on them that, you know, I'll never rip another DJ down. Like, I'll have my opinion if they're good or not, but that's not being cheeky or coming from a bad place. That's just having an opinion. And just like we all have opinions on, do you like a song? Do you not like a song? Do you like a restaurant? Do you not like a restaurant? But you'll never bag on another singer or another musician and go, oh, he's fucking shite. Why is he shite? Oh, he just is shite. Like, you just don't, you know, you don't do that if you're coming from a place of, like, you know how hard it is to work to get where you are. It's like Tony will never bag in another coach in his like.
The only person I have is Eddie. I do bag like Eddie Abdu and stuff, but like,
but he's fucking insane, Tony.
He's like a commodity though. For me, it's one of these things where, as you said, and I like to really highlight the importance of this. When you have to badmouth or you hate on something, and people will be like, I'm not hating, I'm spreading, you know, the right message, and this person is in him. See, when you hate on me or somebody else, it's because you've been triggered. And I don't like saying it, but it's one of the things where, like, whenever I was younger, I used to like hate on people. A really good example of this is like, whenever I was like 13 or 14, I'd be like, person drives by on a Lamborghini, and I go, wanker. And all that does is it shows that their success is showing a spotlight on what I'm insecure about, which was the fact I didn't have money. So obviously, to reaffirm the reason I didn't have it and my family didn't have it, is that if you had money, you're a ball bag. Whereas it's not true.
Well, I went through this actually yesterday.
Yeah, plenty of people that are broke are ball bags. I know fucking plenty of them. And it's one of them things where, for me, as you said, I just think that deep roots itself into you. You have to drive that out in every area of your life. Otherwise, it's just one of the things that overflows into everything.
Well, I sent somebody the car, the X5. It's white. And I go, what do you think? And he wrote, drug dealer. And I laughed. And he goes, mind that, back in the day, anybody had a nice big white car as a drug dealer? And I was like, fuck, aye. That was always a thing, like, round Tyrone. If someone had, like, a white Range Rover, straight away, someone goes, aye, I must be a drug dealer. And that was a running joke. And I just, when you said that, I just clicked my head going, fuck, aye. My mate said that exactly, and I'm 40 years old. Said that to me yesterday. A drug dealer car. And that would have been, that would have been the mental thing in Oma. Like, people would, as soon as they seen, like, a white Range Rover, fuck, is that by a drug dealer? I don't know why. I don't know why it was a white Range Rover. It just was always a thing growing up.
Yeah, it would be. It's that's so typical, though, if that
but
makes sense.
But it is like people with a nice car. They're like, straight away, someone will go, daddy's money, mommy's money, or he's doing something illegal. It's never, oh, the boy's had a job since he's 16, he's now 21, and he's fucking has his only side business going, and he works part-time somewhere else. Like, nobody, everybody's, like, a lot of people are not quick to give people credit. I still get people, like, especially around when my mum passed, be like, oh, you still at the DJ? And like, I go, where are you working? I'm like, just DJing full time. They're like, right. How's that work? And you're just, fucking works very well. But people still in that mindset of like, Jesus, that's, you know, you're not doing the norm. So if you're not doing the norm, it's probably not right or it's not real.
Yeah, but I fucking believe it.
But I think I do honestly believe, like, and when you're talking about, and I know it's wishy-washy and we bait on about it all the time, and I'm probably the worst. People know, I'm a fucking header at times. Like the reason, like, I started training, because I'm down Noma most of the time to be closer to my dad. So my training had hit the wall. So I knew you needed something to really, like, sort of, like, kick me in the hole enough to change the line that I was going in life. Now, life's fucking going good. Everything else is going good. My training went to shit. So I started training with Total Workout, Darren Teg and Oma. Anybody knows anything and around Oma would know Darren. Anybody knows anything about Football Irish League would know Darren. But his gym is more sort of high intensity, sort of kind of CrossFit-y, not CrossFit, but more high rock stuff. That is not anything in the world that I like. I fucking hate it. But I knew I needed to make a statement to kick myself back into action. Keep myself out of comfort zone. I live in comfort zone. I excel in comfort zone. Because of, you know, I've worked hard getting into a wee comfort zone. But for training-wise, I needed to shock the system. Same way as Tony talks about getting into the ice bath. Nobody really, well, after a while, you probably do love getting into it. But at the start, nobody loves getting into an ice bath. Nobody loves at the start going into cold dips. But it's taking yourself out of that kind of comfort zone and forcing yourself. So since I started training with Darren 3 weeks ago, pretty much 3 weeks ago, I've noticed that I'm starting to fall into my routine again and starting to get really good because I took myself out of that comfort zone, shock the system 3 times a week, and then it's forcing me to eat better. It's forcing me to sleep better. It's forcing me to stretch. It's forcing me to, like, do, you know, make better decisions and not make the easy decision. Sometimes if you're busy in life, the easy decision, sometimes the easy decision is the right decision, but sometimes the easy decision, everybody knows that you go into a shop, you need food. That's where your diet falls down. That's where shit hits the wall. But now I find myself making better decisions all the time.
And I think that's the case, though. I think you ingrain poor or bad decisions one by one by one because your discipline either is building up or breaking down. And I think that is something people just don't take into consideration.
But as you said, routine is I would say, like, the foundation. Like, people talk about their kids, like, a lot of families, like, the summer scares them with their children because their children gets out of routine so badly, and then they have to bait them into routine again when they go back to school, which is really tough. And if you think about that, like, when you're young and you're getting up for school in the morning, you're going to bed at night, you probably don't have a TV in your bedroom, you don't have a mobile phone, you're getting your best night's sleep. But now we live in a world that is just all distractions, and they're creating things to distract you at all times, and they're very good at it. Like, TikTok is insanely well built. The algorithm is absolutely on point. It's on point to keep you there. You have no chance unless you have, if you're strict on yourself, you have no chance of watching two videos.
No chance. And then people wonder why their mental health suffers or why they're wasting time or why the quality of their relationships are poor. Because people go, oh, well, everybody's doing it. That is an excuse, you piece of, without sounding cheeky, like, I've been there, victim mentality, and it throws you off. It's just, like, you know, it's so easy for me to say even today and go, right, well, like, Joe, I'm traveling, doing this and doing that. Oh, well, should the ice bins outside? Like, I probably should. I'm doing it straight off this podcast, and I've, like, waited so I can video it. But, like, I was going to do it first thing in the morning. I was like, no, I want the energy boost before I drive. But it's one of the things of, like, so easy for me now to turn around and go, oh, well, like, I've got slides to make, and, like, Joe, I'm rushing, and I have to pack my bag. No, shut the fuck up. It's 2:30 in an ice bath. Like, I'm going to have to get a shower anyway. Joe, it's like, you just quiet the mind. I think a lot of people don't realize that they control themselves a lot more than they think. It's like when people go, Joe, a habit is just you not being aware. See, once you're aware of it, you're actually permitting it. Like, Dorgan says it quite a lot, and I really do rate this. He says, what you permit, you promote. So if you allow it to happen, you're actually wanting it to, and you're allowing that to break down anything in your life, whether it's scrolling, whether it's eating unhealthy, whether it's whatever it is, sleeping in, you what you permit, you promote. It's like, for example, that's if good, your partner's like giving you, if she's giving you shit all the time and you do not call her on that, you're promoting it because you're allowing that habit to go. It's like, if you're like, obviously I don't know anything about kids or like, I'm not great at relationships, but you get what I mean? Like, for example, if somebody talks down to you or somebody says something about you, and don't get me wrong, it's different if it's like light jokes, but if somebody actually speaks to you in a bad manner, I've had this before where an individual has like talked down to me quite a lot, and I would call the person on it time, and it caused a lot of friction, like a lot. But the thing is, we worked on it and we slowly got it out. And it's the fact that the person doesn't realize it unless you're saying it. And it's one of the things where you go, right, wait there, I'm not calling you this, but is that the right way? And it sounds like everything's serious, but this is how you actually not change people. This is how you actually make your life much better, because otherwise that person doesn't know. They're not self-aware enough. So you have to call them on it. Everybody's life is interpreted differently, like perception. And I think a really important part is always seek to understand before being understood is a really key thing, especially whenever you're talking to people. It's like, you know, if you ever see a kid like kicking off downtown, you're like, well, fuck me, will that parent wind that child's neck in because I'm in college? Like, as you said before, like the man, dad, like the dad could have died like a week ago, or the mom could be really struggling, or the child could have fucking ADHD or autism. Yeah. Right? So it's one of these things where you have to obviously take all that into account. But whenever it's somebody close to you in your life and you're allowing stuff like this to go on in any aspect, or even your own routines, your rituals, your sleeping and whatever it is, whatever you permit, you promote. And if you're promoting laziness, you can't expect to live your life in better terms. I'm not talking about making more money. I'm talking about living a high quality life. To live a really high quality life, even with your family and all, it requires effort. It requires time. And like, whereas like, if you're trying to fit in, like anybody listening, that's probably gyms. Like if you're not, like, for example, one of the reasons I get up early is because I can do an hour or two work. I can get a nice bath. I can gym. And then I can start work at 9, already probably 2 hours ahead of work, gym session done. So then whenever I wrap up work around 4 p.m., I have the rest of the day to spend with family. I have the rest of the day to do whatever I want. I can take a break in the middle of the day, take my mom out for lunch because I've been up early to earn the time back. Whereas otherwise, I work 9 to 5. As soon as that's done, I go to the gym, and then it's 7 p.m. and my day is done. And Joe, that for me, now I'm lucky enough to control my own life. But it's one of the things of, if you're gymming at night and you're going, fuck, my relationship's suffering, Joe, not seeing the partner enough, or then gym in the morning. Oh, I'm not a morning person. Shut the fuck up.
I'm fucking starting work tonight at midnight. Not even midnight. I have to put on a mix at midnight. I'm starting at 1 a.m. and finishing at 3 a.m., right? That's 2 hours of work. Some people will be going, oh, fucking feel sorry if you're working for 2 hours because you do 40 hours a week or whatever. But human beings aren't built to fucking, well, they're not built, we're not programmed to be working from 2 or from 1 to 3 a.m. But, and at the start it was tough, but you just train your body to do stuff. It's the same as way as Tony's trained himself to get up at 5 a.m. at 4 to 5.
I wasn't like that last year, the year before. No, I wasn't.
And it's the same as people train themselves to have a nap during the day to optimize themselves. And that is a thing. If you practice enough, like, we're not, you can be whatever. Like, you can you can program yourself to do whatever you want, or you can make excuses and say, oh, I'm not a morning person, not a night person. Nobody's a morning person. Everybody loves sleep. The reason people love sleep is sleep fucking is good for you. No, that's the reason why everybody all love more sleep. The more sleep you give yourself, the more sleep you'll take. You'll just take. But if you're into, you know, optimizing yourself and doing things, and you see reasons, or you're not willing to test ways, like Tony's tested. Tony was like a 7 a.m., a 6 a.m., now 5 is sweet spot. Now you hear boys talking about 4 a.m. That's a bit fucking overkill for me. I could never do it. But I have no excuse because I know I can't. So I'm not going to gurn and go, fuck, no, it's not fair on me. I can't get up at 5 in the morning because of, you know, DJing and late nights. That's just not for me. You know, or the same, I'm not going to gurn if I'm not going to try. You know, people love to gurn about things where they're not willing to actually put in the effort or try. Like Tony's, I'm sure even some of the coaches, that was at Tony's thing at the weekend, like other coaches that don't do it would have been looking at it going, what the fuck are them boys at? Them boys are putting themselves out there, ladies and men, sorry, are putting themselves out there to better themselves, to do better. It's the same as like people hating on content creators that put themselves out there and churn out content every day, and people are hating on it, going, why the fuck is she doing a get ready for me? She dresses shite. Who cares? she's putting herself out there because it's something she wants to do. It's something she likes doing. Like, what? Like, there's no point, you know. If you're not willing to put in the effort, if that's something, if you're looking at her going, oh, I dress better than her, you do it. You know, you look at me, DJ, and go, I'm a better DJ than him. You do it. There's piles of room for everybody. You look at boys that are trying to better themselves or fellas in the gym that are fucking ripped to shit and put in hard work. Oh, he's on steroids. That's because you're not in good shape, you fucking header. And that's, it's like, boys, I've noticed, like, I don't be in Tony's comments anymore. Try to stay off online, but like boys that call out other boys for being on steroids are normally not in great shape, and there's a correlation between, I would say, half boys are half lazy calling out other people being on steroids because they're looking at them and going, I wish I was that ripped, but the only reason they're that ripped is steroids and not the fact that their eating's on point, their training's on point, their sleeping's on point. You know, we love to make an excuse. Because people do get a wee bit jealous and like to make excuses to make themselves feel better. But the harsh reality is, if you just be honest with yourself, you'll break down a lot of time and wasted effort. Just be very honest with yourself where you are, and then have an honest situation. You know what? And now's the time of year to do it. I know everybody loves a good New Year's fucking resolution. Be very honest with yourself to now to the end of the year. Start ticking a couple of wee boxes, and then in January, start making changes, and then you'll probably be in a better mood.
Simple as that. Simple. I actually want to end that, because I think whenever you overtalk good key points like that, it dilutes the podcast. Plus, I have to go make slides because I'm talking in a couple hours, so go fuck yourself.
All right, guys. Rate, review, share. We're going to do an in-person one. We will release details of that this week coming, unless we're going to set a deadline on ourselves. We're going to release details by Wednesday. There you go. There's right. A deadline, and we will have that out by Wednesday, and then we'll do it in person. See you next time.
Spot on. Right. See you later.